Okay, I'm calling to order the Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association Board of Directors meeting. It's 4:04, and we have present the four directors, Jerry Hain, Wendy Magris, Pete Stockstill, and Ken Spalding. We have Brandy Wells, property owner, attending, and we have John Thompson, and we have Ted Stanley on the phone. Any association members would like to make any comments?
I'm leaving in an hour, so if you're not done now, I'm leaving anyway.
Okay.
And I need to leave at 5:15.
Right. And we do have an executive session afterwards, which we have the lawyer calling in, so we want to make sure and start that call on time. Okay. Blah, blah. Okay, review and approval of the October board minutes that was passed around and commented on. Is there any further discussion on those minutes? If not, I'll go ahead and take the vote. I move to approve the October 17, 2017 board minutes as they were provided and provided by email to all board members.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Next item is the treasurer's report, which asks John to provide our information.
At October 31st, we had $26,500 in operating funds, just under $15,200 in reserve funds, for total cash balance of, let's see here, I can't do the math in my head. That would be about $43,000. As far as operations go, revenue is $9,800 under budget, but that is expected. Because $8,500 of that is prepaids. So what that means is as of 12/31/2016, $8,500 was received related to 2017. So that's the majority of the difference. Delinquencies make up the rest. I'm able to account for all but $50 of it. As far as operating expenses, general administrative is $4,200 ahead of budget, the largest amount being attorney's fees, and I expect that variance to survive the remainder of the year.
Attorney's fees?
That's right. We have a favorable variance in attorney's
favorable
fees.
Okay, I was going to say.
Anything in a variance column that's a positive is a favorable variance, regardless of whether it's a revenue or an expense. Anything positive is favorable. Anything negative is unfavorable. Air park expenses are $3,800. Unfavorable variance, $3,200 of which is related to landscaping. So what we did is for the 2018 budget, we bumped up landscaping expenses to be more consistent with what we're currently experiencing. Mm-hmm. And that was approved in the last board meeting.
Well, the budget won't be approved until January.
The final budget won't be approved, but the board did allow us to increase those two specific line items.
Yes. It wasn't an official motion or anything, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And for contributions to reserves, we budgeted $35,000 contributions from operating to reserves. Year to date, we have $25,500. And we'll determine what the final contribution to reserve is in our next meeting, or probably with a new board. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the financial statement?
So we still have $26,000 in the operating fund, and we have a number of projects that we're hoping to get through still.
Yeah, I truly don't anticipate us coming short of contributions to reserves. I think we will be able to match what we have budgeted.
Any questions on the treasurer's report? Nope. Randy, do you have this? Do you want to see them?
Yep, that's too good.
You sure?
Yep.
Former treasurer who...
I'm going to say that after this meeting. Oh,
yep. Okay, so... Does anybody want to make a motion? So I'm not the only one doing it. Come on, guys. The treasurer's report.
Oh.
To accept the treasurer's report.
I motion that we accept the treasurer's report as read.
I second. Any further discussion?
Right.
All in favor of accepting the treasurer's report?
Aye.
Motion carries. I'm going to swap the agenda items here just because I know everybody's waiting with bated breath, right? So we just had the counting of the ballots for the election, and so I would like to congratulate Ted, who's on the phone. You've been elected to the board. And the other member elected is Ron Alegria. So I'd like to thank Jerry Hain very much for all of the work he's done on the board, and I'm sure he's heartbroken, but and we congratulate Ron.
We had a great ballot turnout.
Yes,
terrific response.
We did, and it was very, very close. Okay, so going back to CCNR revision update, you all should have received the ballots and the updates, the updated documents in the mail. I will mention one thing. John, unfortunately, I guess I wasn't clear, but it needed to be in color because you can't see the differences in the comparison document, because I had read for, you know, new items and crossed out. Anyways, it's hard to read the comparison document without the colors. So at this point, I don't really want to do another mailing, but perhaps... just send out an email if anybody is having difficulty viewing it as it's put forth to, well, you could send out a copy, I suppose, an email.
I can, and that'll be in color.
And that would be in color, but if somebody wanted a printed copy for some reason, they could do that too. The main document itself was black and white anyway, so it didn't make sense. Is this for me? Is it for me?
That was my question.
Are you sure?
He's
got water over there.
It was 3,300 copies made for that mailing. I'm a former CPA. That stands for copy, paste, and attach.
Copy, paste, and attach. Okay.
Okay. So... I think that's it on the CCNRs. We requested ballots back by December 13th. I hope everybody will do that. Encourage your friends to reply.
I just got my packet today in today's mail.
Okay. What else did I want to say on that? In case you didn't notice on the ballot, we said we request your ballot back by a certain date. And the reason for that was if we didn't get enough people, we would then start calling folks up and asking them to, motivating them to send them in. We do need 2/3 of the property owners to respond in order to have a quorum. So that's a high level. Anything else that we should mention, John?
Please vote.
We vote. Okay.
Yeah, the board election response. Awesome.
It was awesome.
That was good, so hopefully that will translate into the CCNRs as well.
Yeah. John said we had 75% returns. So.
Nice.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the gate security update. And so John just handed around, I guess, a bid.
So I have one incremental bid since we last met. If to refresh memory, In the last meeting, we had three bids just for the cameras, not for any of the ancillary stuff that's required for the cameras. That was from Encompass, More Security, and ADT. I obtained a fourth bid for the security system as well as a bid for all the ancillaries. That's putting iron spear point window bar guards on both windows, putting a security door on the doorway, and then having some mechanism of putting the power to the place that was all in conduit that was both watertight as well as pest resistant, and so that came in at $1,150. This is a guy I use a lot, and he's very trustworthy. He gives a 3-year warranty on all workmanship. So if you have any problems with anything, he'll come down and fix it. But he also put a proposal together for the security system as well. His bid came in at $1,180 without a monitor. His point with the monitor is storing a monitor in a room that has excessive heat, excessive cold, and is exposed to the elements is probably not the greatest idea. It's best to, if you ever want to view anything that's on the hard drive, just to bring a monitor with you and plug it in. It's a real quick plug and play. He has an old monitor he's willing to put in for free. It's a 20-inch. It's a color. Otherwise, if you want to buy a monitor, it'll be incremental to that to store actually there. So on the last page... Yeah, well, his system is right off the internet. He's getting it from one of the big box suppliers. I think I saw this system for under $200. It's a 4-channel system. It's only got a 500 gigabyte hard drive. The other systems had terabytes on it. But he said, in his experience, he's installed these before. In the last year he's installed, and he said, they turn on and turn off only when necessary. And they're not running full time.
But, so I'm a little concerned out here with all the wildlife we have that they might be turning on more.
Yeah. Well, that's the point I told them is I didn't think 500 gigabyte was enough. I think terabytes more appropriate or 2 terabyte. He said that just adds cost. He's not making any profit on the materials. That's just a pass through. So, that's
Jerry. Well, we've got two IT guys here now.
The whole thing about this is every time there is some kind of an incident, that's the only time we're going to go and review it.
Right.
And it's just going to be copying over. And a 500 gigabyte should give you a week's worth. How long are you going to wait to go and review it?
Right. Most of the systems, are set up with, you can go 8 channels. I mean, mm-hmm. Are you running all 4 channels that comes with 4?
Yeah, we're going to run all 4 cameras.
Yeah, I got one probably about that size at home. And I actually think the 500, quite frankly, worst case is if it ain't big enough, you can upgrade them.
Yeah, it's very simple to swap out the drive.
Generally, you're going to have an incident. Yeah, you need to be diligent about going and viewing it if something mm-hmm. happens. So, within a week, I think.
I guess I had talked to this guy today. When I said, how about a terabyte or 2 terabytes, he chuckled and said, well, if that's what they want, but 500 gigabytes, more than enough. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what I don't know about these things.
500 gig is going to be enough. Because I've had, with a 1 terabyte, with... I think it's 2 cameras. It's like months of backup. I installed one on at the airport, and actually I had 8 cameras on that one. It had a 1 terabyte drive with 8 cameras, and I had 6 months worth of data, and it's running all the time.
And what I like about a one-stop shop with this guy is he'll install a metal box that it goes into that can be locked and secure. And if anything in any part of the system goes wrong, it's a one phone call rather than calling one person, then pointing the finger at the other person. And then, So I prefer a one-stop shop, but it's your discretion. But I know I won't get a better price on the window and door guards as well as the motion-activated lights. He charges
so this
up.
This included how many lights?
Two 180-degree lights. You can face them front, back, or side to side. He prefers side to side. Thinks it gives a better view.
This black motion, is that like night vision? Back vision. Back motion.
I don't know.
I think the back motion is it might be constantly recording. So when something actually occurs where it should save it, it actually goes back like 5 seconds. So it catches it. There's a lot of times like a car driving by. By the time it activates the motion detection, the car might be 3/4 of the way by before it records it. So it actually brings it back and records it back.
Nice.
I believe is what that does.
Okay.
Well, this is talking about
the
floodlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means. I'm an accountant.
Because the thing we definitely want to do is be able to get license plates and so on.
I'm guessing what black motion means is it doesn't need light to detect any kind of motion. It can detect it in complete blackness. It detects motion in a different way other than, you know.
Probably.
So I'm guessing that's what that means.
To tell you the truth, after looking at the other proposals and looking at this, I have no problem saying I would prefer to go with this one.
It's not rocket science stuff.
Yeah.
Plus, like you say, it's one-stop shopping. You know, if you're going to do the ironwork and the install the other stuff too, if something goes wrong, just call one guy. It's done.
He's got $1 million of insurance and that I have on file. So
this says 2 window guards, but we actually have 4 windows.
No,
there's 2 windows.
2,
yeah, and a door.
2 windows and a door. I measured them myself.
North, south, and east facing door.
Oh, yeah, okay. Very good. I was thinking all 4 sides for some reason. Okay.
So,
Ken, do you have any thoughts?
No, I reckon. Looks good. So you have to take proposal 1, proposal 2. And a light pole. Was he included somewhere?
No, it's all included.
Where?
Emerson
proposal
has
1
two
says
proposals.
Separate. It says separate.
Yes. If you look at page 1, proposal 1 is for the little house things.
This is for everything.
Right. No, I know. But he's got proposal 1 and proposal 2. Proposal 2 is what you compare to the other guys.
Oh, I see what you mean. Under Emerson,
for
separate means that that's not included in this number down here. It's up in here.
Huh? Everyone else only quoted proposal number 2, and that's what it's going to cost for proposal number 2. Add these two together,
head
to head. How much it's going to be for everything.
Yeah.
Well, this is head-to-head cost for this. But
right.
This one has the security door plus the...
So we know what the total cost is going to be.
Yeah.
So how much is the total?
It's $2,330. Without a monitor, and if you want a monitor full time in there, then he'll add that in.
That includes the mast.
Well,
however he's going to install the lights, I don't know how he's going to install them.
It's on proposal 1, number 3.
Well, under floodlights, all wiring to be run in watertight conduit.
Yeah.
I guess I would just want to know if he's going to put a light.
On the Emerson, this is the Emerson one. The mast is separate.
Well, but it says in this. I think separate on. It's not in proposal 2. It's in proposal 1.
Okay.
Light mast? Question mark. Okay.
I'll ask him about it. How he intends to install it. So in the last meeting, the board approved up to $3,000.
Still within that.
So we're $2,330 without a monitor. Do you want a full-time monitor down there subject to weather? Or wouldn't mind bringing a monitor with you every time you wanted to look at it?
I have one out here that I'm not using for anything. Don't worry about the monitor. I'll donate it.
I don't even think we want to put one out there.
I know, but I'd rather it sat there than in my hangar. Although it'll get more weather out there.
I'm curious, is there a way to just put a USB drive you know, and then take it back to the house and look at it? Or is that something... How do you look at the data?
It's way easier to just plug the monitor in and look at it right there.
Okay, so...
For the snippet you want to see.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You may not get to it until a day or two, and there could be a whole bunch more recordings in between there. So you try and isolate the time period, then you just download that to your USB rather than having days of...
You need a monitor so you can see what you're doing.
Just a copy to the USB anyways.
Oh. Okay. I've never seen one of these things, so... Okay.
Think of it as a computer with no monitor.
Yes, Ted?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have a question which maybe has already been asked, but did the specifications include, you know, to say that once it's installed, it would in fact be able to read a license plate?
John, can you ask that question?
I will. I made it really clear when I was talking to him that, you know, if the lights were, he was a fan of not putting them north south. He was east west on the sides because they're 180s. Mm-hmm. And he was convinced that they wouldn't have any problem with getting a license plate. I specifically asked him, you know, will you guarantee that this thing will capture a license plate if it's.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if it does all this good stuff, but you can't see the license plate, then. This is
a
critical piece of information.
I think that's going to be based on where you locate the camera.
Well, so I had assumed...
The quality of the camera as well as where you locate it.
Aren't the cameras going to be in the little house? Because otherwise they're going to get vandalized.
I thought they're going to be on top.
They're going to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be probably at 45 degrees, I would think. To the corners of the building.
You want plates of people coming in?
That shows everything.
In and out.
In and out.
I think you'd almost need that one shows down low or outside where it's more
see them come.
License plate height that
covers
as
everything.
They come through the gate. Yeah.
You still want to see everything else too.
Right. Well, you got four cameras. You just got
We have one looking at the front going out, and one looking at the rear going out, one looking at the front coming in. When looking at the rear coming in.
Okay, they would be cantered.
Mm-hmm.
With the field of view, I would assume it would cover.
You want
probably
the ones
overlap.
Coming in and going out, looking at the front of the vehicle up high enough where you get a good view through the window at who's driving.
Yep.
And the ones looking at the back should be primarily looking angled for license plates.
We'll have to play with it.
Yeah, that's something you have to play with after you get them here. It really is going to depend on the placement of the cameras. What you want to see. You get them in there and have to adjust them.
Mm-hmm.
No, this doesn't work.
Just want to forewarn you that the bars and the door are unique, so it'll take them 2 weeks to order and for it to come in. So it won't be for a couple weeks, but it'll be before the middle of December. By the middle of December, it should be installed. He has a window then.
Okay.
So he's built a window, I should say.
So I'll go ahead and move that we employ David Emerson to install the security cameras and the protection for the gatehouse.
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. Yay. So now we just got to figure out. So when he comes out to install, he's going to need somebody to be here. How's that going to work?
No, it's in front of the gate, so he doesn't need to be inside.
No,
the gate,
I know, but for things like where to point the cameras and so on.
Call Mike Michaels.
Is he still willing to do it?
I think he may.
He hasn't been here for the discussions we've had. That's all I'm concerned about.
They can call me.
Yeah, let me say, somebody's around.
Yeah.
Somebody's around.
Okay. So you'll send out a note when they're going to come, and then we'll figure out who's
Yeah, it'll be two or three guys.
Okay.
He always includes two or three in his rates. So he's budgeted $55 an hour for two to three guys. Believe it or not, that's how he works. I don't know how it works.
So 55 for three guys?
Three guys.
Wow. I'm gonna hire them.
That's why I use him a lot. He's done tens of thousands of dollars of work for me.
Yeah.
Very large projects to the smallest. And so.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for coordinating that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, common area update. So, I've been floating an idea around. So, Randy, you probably don't know this, but John's been putting together kind of a business case for the common area. And so he's produced some materials, and none of us have seemed to have time to even look at them. So I was wondering if you'd be willing to, like, look at these common area materials that he's put together, having been common area guy before.
Look at them. Yeah.
John's background is, you know, accounting and doing business cases and that sort of thing. So
is that stuff you can just email to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
Great.
Okay, so my action item is John to email.
It kind of builds on the stuff that we had from before.
There was some excellent work done before, so
all I did was just
plagiarize it and make it pretty.
Because where we were the last time we revisited, like, business case is, if we did it ourselves, if we decided that we wanted to take on debt like that, it wouldn't pencil out really for quite some time. And so John went back and took a look at it and kind of to say, would this be of interest to an investor to come in and front some of the upfront money in order to do this? And what would that look like? What would be a method to do that? So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
So offline, I'll walk you through all my reasoning.
Okay. Yeah.
It won't be today, but it'll be, I'll just.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you mind if I can give you a call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put your number back there.
Okay. Okay.
That's fine.
A minute taking pen, so.
Don't dawdle with it.
I have another pen if you want your minute taking pen.
It won't take long.
Okay, the next item on the. Was there anything else on common area update, John? Because you sent an executive summary.
That's right.
Recently. And I haven't even opened it up. I don't, has anybody? Or?
I didn't.
It's gone the ways of my newsletters.
The newsletter I read.
You did?
Yes.
It went out, right?
It did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to insurance coverage.
That whole project is done now. We've got the backhoe under our auto and liability policy. It costs less than $1,000 incremental for the remainder of the year. Then we got a refund of about $135 for the previous policy was under, which only covered it from like 2,000 feet from where it was parked.
Yeah, so. We kind of didn't do a good job of checking out that we had sufficient insurance.
So that completes my task of insurance coverage. We got the volunteer policy as well as the backhoe properly covered.
Okay. Can you reflect these new numbers in the budget for next year?
Oh, thank you. I may not have done that. I don't think I did. I don't recall doing that.
Is there any other discussion on insurance? We're rolling right along. John, you've been a busy beaver.
the road sign estimates, again, I think what we want to do is just table that until we have a backlog of construction coming on board. I hate to spend, let's say we spent $400 or $500 on portable signs. I don't think it would be that much, but let's say it's that much. And then they just sit around and we don't use them for a while, so we get a backlog. Cause...
So there's a couple of signs that I think are important. And
okay.
One of them's on my street, so I don't want to sound like I'm, trying to get preferential treatment here. But on the dead end streets, when trucks go down them, they can't turn around, and that presents a problem. And I know my driveway has been getting torn up by big trucks trying to turn around. because of dead ends. And I would bet that you probably have similar problems. So I would suggest that the dead end streets still need something that say no trucks larger than some amount.
That sounds like a permanent sign to me.
Those are permanent. Yeah, when we had talked about, I think maybe you misunderstood. There was a permanent component, and then there was a...
I did misunderstand.
Yeah, there was a temporary component.
Do we need to actually put dead end?
Yeah, that would be...
On all those streets that are dead ends, because that would eliminate these guys driving down there, because as soon as they see it's dead end, they know it's not going where they want it to go most of the time.
We had dead end signs down there at the college and stuff like that, and it didn't stop people from doing anything. They always figure, well, you know, okay, it doesn't go anywhere, but I'll just go down and turn around. And so I think
like there's a cul-de-sac or something.
Yeah, we actually just had to spell it out, no truck turnaround here, to basically get most of the traffic to go, oh, I better not go there.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so that would be my thing. In fact, I was looking for my original sheet, but I also had colored the different signs and stuff like that, and I can't find that part. But I did find this in looking for that. But we're making some headway.
Okay. Just give me specs. I'll put some numbers together. I got a great sign maker. He's in town. He's professional. He's got his own shop. He does terrific work at great prices. He's budget signs if you ever want to look him up. He's on the internet. He does all the sign work for my properties.
Okay. Anyway, I'll
and if you can do that,
I'm getting closer.
We're not talking great big dollars here, so it would be something that you know, we could fit into the budget, and so that you know, when Dave's out here doing the security, he can also install those permanent signs, dig the holes and put in cement and make sure it's the right height and everything like that.
All right. I'm getting closer. I went through one whole side of the office.
Okay. Otherwise, you know, having them come down for a special trip for something like this, this is a land far, far away for a lot of contractors. So, you know, as much as we can get him to do while he's down here would be ideal.
And then winter weed spraying. So I completed my action to provide an updated
formula.
And I was suggesting that you take a look to see what we have left here, to see if we need to get more stuff before the day that we come out and do it.
You bet.
Yeah. But I think we settled that we should get it done in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'll be out the first weekend of December, and there's plenty of chemicals to get me through the first day, I'm sure, and that might be all I need. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of chemicals, plenty of chemicals.
Okay.
So I didn't have any concern when I got your email as far as wanting to run out there.
And you said you're going to do the fence with the wand now. That's what I got from one of your last emails.
Did about a quarter mile of the fence with the traditional sprayer. The rest I had to do with the wand.
Okay.
I abandoned that right away. So most of the fence was done with the wand.
Because I was thinking getting new sprayers that have a wider...
No. It has to be done with the wand. I can't get anywhere near that fence in a lot of the areas.
Okay. Very good. Air Park promotional events. We haven't really been talking about any.
We tabled that.
You were originally going to do something with the AOPA.
Yeah, and then they stole the whole event, and they botched it over there at Marina.
Did they?
Yeah.
Seriously.
So
what happened? Just so that we learn from it, not to.
Okay, so what happened was, I had the STEMI out there. And all the vendors that were there on the different days always outnumbered the number of people who visited because they didn't advertise in the right place or at the right time. And it was the biggest bomb I've ever seen of an event.
Well, that's what I learned from doing the flyings here, is you have to advertise 6 months in advance or you don't get the people in. So
right,
you know.
And they had everything spaced out so far that the ones that did come, I mean, there was airplane way over there. You know where they have the car races over at Marana? Mm-hmm. Over on the far side? Yeah, they used that entire area. So you had to walk that whole length. And they had two rows one on this end and one way over on this end, and I could have taken the STEMI and turned circles between them and not have to even look, because mm-hmm. there's no way I was going to hit anything.
Well, so the biggest thing was just advertising. They didn't get the word out.
It was advertising, and they tried to make it too big, and they should have tightened everything up and started small, but they wanted to start huge, and it didn't work.
So, you know, it may be worth revisiting if there's still a program with the OPA. They probably got burnt pretty bad trying to sponsor that.
There's a Rusty Pilots program December 9th.
Where at?
Up at...
Something Phoenix, though.
It's female, yeah. It's... is that not Phoenix, but right next to it?
Scottsdale?
I think so.
Yeah.
I so saw that. Going back to Scottsdale.
Okay. Yeah, well, I heard that Copper State actually, that some of the people I've talked to, Copper State was actually almost a fizzle as well, too. You said there was, you know, there's people there, but.
Actually, it was better than the year before.
Yeah.
It might have been a near fizzle, but it was still better than the year before. The year before,
I heard
was
a lot of
definitely
people
worse.
Really, really saying that. I mean, it's dying there. So, but anyway, we might.
That's interesting because they've got a lot more
information. The AOPA puts out the subject of the Rusty Pilot Seminar, and I thought that's what we were kind of talking about.
Yeah, we were originally. But another thing too, it was also a very, very hot weekend.
Yes, it was
an unusually hot May weekend.
Yeah. I was in the shade underneath my wing looking at my iPhone, and it shut off from heat. that was when it did that. Yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
so
I got a couple other ideas and stuff like that, but I just need to have a couple other events take place first, you know, business-wise and stuff. Like today, I was supposed to have my meeting with the FAA, and they stood me up on it, so I had basically had to sit there in the office all day waiting for them to call, and called me at 3:15, which didn't leave me a whole lot of time to do easily. Mm-hmm. And so that repair station thing is basically just dragging on, as well as the completion of this other aircraft I got up here and then some of the other stuff. But, you know, one of the things that I keep seeing happening is that there are some other event people in the state, and you know what? I think they're staying away from the Copper States, and after that Rusty Pilot Seminar down in Moran, I think Moran is kind of being shunned, because that's not the first time that Moran put something together and it didn't go very well out there. But you know, geez, I was thinking, you know, it would be fun to have a stole contest out here. Yes. Yeah, that might be a lot of fun, actually.
Mike would love that.
But, you know, we might be able to do something. But it's going to have to be a winter event. And it seems like every time we roll out the calendars to see who's available and what's going on, you know, every stinking month it's cool. Everybody's got something else going. So it's going to be a tough nut.
It's November, so even if we started doing something, I mean, we're back into September again.
Yeah. So it's probably not this coming.
Unless, you know, we still, you know, people keep bringing up, why don't we just do a quick old pancake breakfast? Just invite people over for pancakes, you know. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, there's three other airports that do that.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's the norm. It's you know.
I went to two in one day in the STEMI.
Yeah, we got to do something unusual.
Is that Benson also?
Benson and
I haven't been to Benson's yet.
And then what's that?
Stafford.
Stafford. Not the Skydiver place. It's what's the airport just east of them? Damn it! I can't remember the name of the place up there.
Coolidge.
Coolidge has a pancake breakfast. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, any day of the week you want to go up there by Globe. They got the casino right there. That serves pancakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no. No shortage of places to go have pancakes, I guess. So yeah, we'd have to have something completely new and different. But I don't think it can happen this year.
Well, definitely not this year. I'm even thinking of the winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's already getting late.
Yeah, well, I might this year be
EAA sponsoring any fly-ins besides the biggies.
Doubt it.
Any of the local chapters?
Oh, well, the trapture is just, you know, lose a whole wad trying to get past the big deal.
Yeah. Is that FDA back in?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we can't do anything right now.
Yeah, it's all about manpower, so.
If we have the skull contest, the best I can do in the STEMI is about 250 feet at this
elevation. I still think it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. Short takeoff and landing for those not in the room.
My takeoff roll is under 300 feet at this elevation.
All our buddies down from Alaska.
Yeah. Okay. John, a note on the election results. Can you go ahead and put out an email? Not tonight, tomorrow, just to everybody giving the results of the election. Just okay. A real short one.
I have one thing that's not on the business list.
Okay, let me go to the next one and then we'll. So now we're going to new business. Status of shared wealth draft agreement. I have not made any progress on that, but now that the CCNRs are out of my hands, that is something I'm going to be working on, hopefully starting next week. So next week, my plans are close out the Chase bank account finally, which I haven't done, work on the shared will agreement, and then just clean up some of the old stuff that's been hanging out. So that'll be good.
Well, I'm just asking about the roads.
Yeah.
So is there not supposed to be anything in the setbacks, the 25 feet each side of the center line, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there anything limiting anyone from putting something right on the edge of that?
No. I mean, it's the
okay.
property.
But that,
yeah.
That's what it is. So it's 25 feet. Okay.
50 foot. Yeah. Should be 50 foot clearance.
It'd be really nice if we had some white lines on our taxiways down the middle, so it would be easier to figure out where it is, since our roads are eroding
mm-hmm.
in some places. It'd also be a lot easier for me to taxi, because I'm having to taxi around posts and tree limbs and stuff that we need to get trimmed back, but I don't know which side is the culprit that needs to get trimmed back, because
mm-hmm.
my wingspan is long enough at 38 feet that I've got very narrow margins
mm-hmm.
and there's a few obstacles on the main drag going in that I'm scared to death of hitting a few things.
Kind of ironic that you're mentioning that, because I had exactly the same idea the other day after I was driving along and thinking it would be nice for a center line. It would have
mm-hmm.
to be get a surveyor in here and
go directly
down. There would be no quibbling, no nothing else. Here it is, folks.
Yeah.
Well, it's already been surveyed. We have the markers, right?
If the markers are there, I don't know if the markers are there.
Well, it shouldn't be too big a problem, but I'm thinking this is something that we will have to do it at some point if we want to move into night flying. So it's not something that's going to be wasted, and it's going to make a huge difference for me, especially with this long wingspan and with the obstacles I've got on both sides to be able to stay right in the center and not have to.
And you're talking just about Ruby Earth Park Drive.
I think all of the roads.
Ruby Earth Park Drive would be the main one, because everyone comes in
and here,
looks at that.
Then it also
first.
It also shows up your ingression of tree limbs coming out, and you can see the center mark and
measure over,
you know,
and know
what's with this
where
guy.
To cut. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So it would just make things easier for us to keep everything trimmed right if we did have that marked. So I'm saying we should put this, look into the costs of having center line stripes put in, and
so
the proper color for taxis.
Do we have an action list?
We have one item, I don't know. That's what the minutes document, but no, I'll add that to the next agenda.
Okay, and just understand that taxiways are yellow stripes, runways are white stripes.
Okay.
so we don't want white stripes.
I hadn't even thought of that.
I'm a pilot. You're just about there. So we want to make sure that we get the right color on the stripes.
Any other topics that we want to bring up?
Yeah.
When do we...
We're going to have an executive session, too, so...
When do we have to reseal our remainder one?
It's past due.
Okay.
Should be every 3-4 years.
Didn't we just do some bit sealing?
Yeah,
we
did. No, it wasn't sealing. It was crack sealing.
Crack sealing. Right. Crack sealing. Yeah.
So we did a little maintenance on it, but we didn't do a seal.
Not completely finished yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We didn't authorize enough to finish it all.
That needs to be finished before you take and put down the sealant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's expensive. I mean, the last time we did it ourselves, and it cost $18,000. To hire somebody is $37,000.
It was over 30, 30, between 33, 34, I think, for Magnum to come in and do it.
Yeah.
Who did the installation of the runway. I think we did it for just a touch over 15, 16, maybe a little bit more, I don't know.
I think we had to buy some more stuff, or yeah. I remember 18 somehow.
But that requires
7 guys, and it's not just the 7 guys on the day.
Yes,
Mike spent a lot of time just planning out how much do you need to buy, what are the materials, you have to rent the equipment,
you got to go get the equipment.
Yeah.
You got to drive the equipment.
It was a lot of time, and Ken did a lot of that work, too.
I wasn't into it like some other guys with their hands literally into up their elbows down into the gook, you know? So.
I'll drive. Yeah. I'll go get the equipment. I'll drive the equipment.
I know who's going to be up to their elbows in gook. it's coming.
Clearing those nozzles that like to gum up.
No, but this is a job that you need like 6 or 7 people at once, and because... One has to be brushing, the other guy has to be doing something else, and it's just like this choreographed thing.
Yeah,
it could be fun, but...
It was a good exercise.
Yeah. I could find three hardworking guys for like $10 an hour.
Oh, crud. That's amazing.
These are Dave's guys. They work for Dave for $10 an hour.
I got one thing I'd like to get on the new business, at least start some discussion about it. I've mentioned this before, and you probably know what my feelings are about it, but this use of our runway by air taxi, I think ought to be charged. I think there ought to be a fee assessed to it.
This is for like Cutter, you're talking about?
For those our neighbors over here. Pick a number. Think about it. I pushed out the information that I had about the contract that was signed with over here. I'm almost positive that was right before the physically signed copy, because it came to us from the attorney at that time, Carolyn Goldschmidt. There is nothing in there mentioned about any use of the runway for their personal use. So the contract that we have for dust suppression and the whole thing for the amount of money that they put in for the contract and for the runway, that's not inclusive of air taxi work coming in here. Based on their attitude towards us and various things that have been brought to their attention, charge them.
Do you have a fee amount?
I don't. I really don't. It's something that we kind of like just bring this up, food for thought, talk about it in the future, and then let's see what we can do about it.
Did they ever respond to your last email?
No.
I think you should poke them and say, did you receive this?
I think that's bad.
Yeah, I don't know who the right person is. I just picked somebody off the internet. Someone's email address I found on the internet.
For the Phoenix office?
For Cutter?
Not for Cutter. No, I had a specific... Okay, I'll poke Cutter.
Did you...
How often does that happen?
Well, the problem is the last two times, it happens maybe every 3 months, but the last two times they didn't even call. They're supposed to coordinate.
Right.
And they didn't call, so we could have had maintenance being done, who knows what, you know. And the person who came in hadn't done their homework, landed downhill in a King Air.
They were in reverse up by Bonanza Gold. They were in full reverse. I kept listening. I sent my come out of my hangar and I said, "Who in the heck's coming in here?"
So yeah. they didn't know what they were doing, and that's part of people calling and getting permission is so that we can make sure we tell them about the interesting aspects of our runway.
Yeah.
Well, it's on. I think it's on our website too.
It is. It's in the FAA registry too.
Got it all over the place.
And it wasn't a windy day or anything either. No. Anyways.
Anyway.
It's not to get to. I'm guessing this is not to raise big amounts of money, but more just to put a.
That's it. You know, I was kind of thinking $500 coming in a day or something like that. You know, I don't know.
Wonder how much a cutter flight is.
Probably more than that. Probably a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I mentioned this just before. I mentioned it to John. And John brought up a point, too. He says, well, maybe, how did that go? We can negotiate with them for some water or something of that sort down the road. And I maybe don't want to cut our nose off to spite our face or whatever. But so these are things that collectively we need to talk about.
Okay. Anybody else have any topics they'd like to bring up? Oh, I have one. December meeting. We hardly ever have a December meeting. Most people end up too busy or whatever. Do we want to have a December meeting or do we want to wait until the week before and then decide if we're having it or... Thoughts? Well, the big things would be if the CCNRs didn't go through, that would be a problem.
That's the only thing I can think.
So if they don't go
through, there's some issue with the gate security.
See you in a year.
Huh?
I said, if they don't go through, we'll see you in a year.
Well, I'm not doing it again, that's for sure.
I'm just making a facetious comment about it. Yeah. Because I think I made mention about it a year ago.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go through, I'll volunteer to be back on it again.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm here, so, you know,
Well, let's leave it.
All year round.
I think it's December 19th. Bye, Randy.
See you later.
Thanks so again, we'll get to it before and then decide what we want to do. Okay. So, Ted, do you have any comments, anything before we sign off?
Nothing that comes immediately to mind except to say thank you, Jerry. I think you did a great job and I appreciate all the time.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry, you cut out.
Go ahead.
We're just having some noise here and you cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just a couple of random thoughts. If you don't want to do pancakes, you could offer ice cream cones.
That works for me. DQ isn't made yet. It really pisses me off.
I wasn't aware of the air taxi thing, but if there's a free port coming in, is that the idea?
Yes.
Well, no, I think it's in their interest to have the runway remain in good shape. So I would ask them to contribute to that particular endeavor. And if you have trouble with people at one time. My airport, we had an individual coming in a turbine airplane that refused to pay, and the management decided that they would install what was referred to then as the Michigan boot. That means that they would park the Michigan front end loader and a couple of other vehicles around the airplane, and they would stay there until any key was satisfied. It worked pretty well.
I can imagine it did.
They have a Massey Ferguson boot. The back will work wonders.
Okay.
There's just one more. Do we want to talk about the Adam fee in an open meeting?
Yeah. We're done. I guess we have one more topic.
In the financials and the budget, I had included a revised budget, but I'll further revise it based on the comments we had today. But one thing that Adam requests is a cost of living increase from $390 a month to $400 a month, a $10 increase per month, $120 a year.
And I don't have a problem with that.
I sure don't. I don't
want to
do it.
It works for me.
So I'll move to increase the contract with Adam to $400 a month beginning January 1st, 2018.
I second that as my last.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Oh, who took over the my position that he does all the time?
The treasurer.
Nobody yet.
The treasurer.
So what will happen is in January, at the first meeting, we'll have a little bit. John will give an overview of what a board does and what our responsibilities are, and then we'll vote on the officers. Okay. So you're still it until December 31st.
Okay, no problem. Yeah,
officers last only a year, and that's elected by the board. Appointed by the
board. And it's actually recorded with the state. We actually have to record with the Corporation Commission.
It's included with the ACC filing.
All righty.
And yours is due in April of next year. Keep track of all that.
Yeah. I move to close the open session of the Board of Directors meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's 5:01.
5:01. Thanks, Ted. Well, we'll see you soon.
Well, thank you all, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye. Ted's going to be out